Chapter 4, verse 18. I just want to speak for a few moments about our lives and about different areas of our life when we go through. And we're going to just look at Peter's life quickly this morning. Because many of us will start, but then maybe a failure happens and we never start back up again. Or maybe we just can't think we're ever going to be able to do it. Or maybe we feel like we have a promise of God in our lives, and for whatever reason, he's probably not talking to me. Probably talking to the guy behind me. And there's so many reasons why we just never even really start. And so this morning, I want to just talk about that for a few minutes. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending the nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word," Peter's, "were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them," or to the church. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Allow it to be life unto us. And so here is Peter. He's at the situation that many of us will find ourselves in at one point in our lives. That point in that situation, whatever we're doing, where all of a sudden God comes in and he wrecks our life. He wrecks our day. Because we have built up to that point this idea, trying to find that thing, trying to be the best husband, trying to be the best wife, trying to be the best employer, trying to be the best employee, trying to be the best student, whatever it might be. But the entire time that we're doing that, that one thing that is nagging inside of us is, what should I be doing with this thing called life? Where should I be going with this thing? And all of a sudden, here is Peter doing the one thing he's always known what to do ever since he was a child, was fish. And Jesus, the Son of God, walking by him, says, "I want to do something special in your life. I want to do something special through your life. I want to do something so much more than just what you see or your father has ever seen in you. I want to make you a fisher of men." He didn't sit there and try to argue with Peter. He didn't sit there and try to convince Peter. He simply said, "Peter, if you follow me, I'm going to do this." Just a one-sentence promise. And so many of us, and I believe that so many of us, will end the journey before we ever even begin the journey. Many of us will never step outside of that boat. We'll never step out of that thing, our comfort zone. Because no matter how much we like it or we don't like it, there is something comfortable within predictability. There is something very comfortable within the known. But oftentimes when God comes in and he begins laying a promise at us and he begins saying, "This is something I want to do special in your life. This is something I want to do special in your church. This is something I want to do special in your family's life, your business's life," whatever it might be, that means that most likely you are going to have to break outside of your comfort zone and step into the unknown and do something you probably never did before. And maybe even something you never imagined that you would be able to do. And when we were in Ecuador this past few weeks, Sohan impressed me, my little 7-year-old guy. And the trip was all about Rio soccer. Somebody actually asked me, they said, "You know, for a mission trip, y'all sure played a lot of soccer." I was like, "That's because it wasn't a mission trip. That was a soccer trip." That would be why. But Sohan, we had an opportunity. Now, we were way up elevation on the mountains, which when you get up there breathing, you do notice every breath for your first few days up there. As we take a bus ride, we went to a rainforest environment. The bus ride by itself was an adventure. You're talking about coming, descaling off of a mountain, 2-lane road, the entire time down. That bus driver could cut some gears, let me tell you. And so we're going down there, and we were going rafting. Now, my idea of rafting and their idea of rafting is definitely two different things. My idea of rafting is you actually in a raft going down a river. Their idea of rafting is five inflatable tires strapped together and forms a circle. And everybody kind of wedges themselves in there and holds on tight. And the guy jumps out every once in a while and kicks off of rocks and does all these crazy stuff. And so on, he's got his helmet on, he's got his life vest on. I thought to myself, I was like, that boy can't swim. He thinks he can. I mean, he thinks he can swim. He can't swim. I mean, there's people here that's taking him to the pool, they know. And so Hans, he's brave, man. He jumps in that thing. He hits that first rapid. I want off. He just starts, I don't like this. The problem is, son, you can't get off. You'll get off eventually. Whenever this trip ends, this guy can't speak English, so I can't ask him how long the trip is. And I just tell him, I said, son, it's going to be, I said, Sohan, it's going to be okay. And he did something. The next rapid hit, which wasn't too long, and he screamed, this is awesome. It wasn't a very convincing scream. But then the next rapid, he screamed, this is awesome. And by the third and the fourth and the fifth, he is shouting on the top of his voice, and he is having the greatest time of his life. And I was reminded about something Paul reminded Timothy about. He said, Timothy, there's going to be times, and I remember your grandmother, and I remember your mother. I remember that spiritual heritage they gave you, and there are going to be times where you need to learn how to self-encourage yourself. Because there's going to be times of desperation. There's going to be times fear hits you. There's going to be times of loneliness where you're tweeting and you're calling and you're texting everybody that you know and nobody's responding, and you need to learn how to be able to lay hands on yourself and begin to encourage yourself and the Lord. And that might sound like this is awesome when you don't mean it. Everything's going to be okay when you don't think that anything is going to be okay. But you begin to encourage yourself, that you begin to hear your own voice, and it begins to encourage yourself because you remind yourself of God's voice in your life, that he said, if you follow me, I'm going to take you somewhere great. It doesn't feel like it's so great right now, but I know who he is, and I know he's leading me, and I know he's guiding me. And so I'm going to hold on. I'm going to enjoy as much as I can out of this thing. He enjoyed it so much so that by the very end of the ride, he got off and the coach was waiting for us because we were last group down there. And he jumps off the raft and he says, Coach, I want to go again. And he's like, sorry, we're going to get some lunch. And he sees a little sign that's a guy on a zip line. And he's like, I want to do a zip line. I said, son, we're not doing zip lines today. We're going to go eat lunch. I think we're going home because it takes an hour and a half to get back home. And I mean, I was done anyway. I wanted to go back to the hotel. I was tired. We go and have lunch. We get on back on the bus. We're going the wrong way. We're going back up this mountain. Guess what we're doing? We're going ziplining. I've gone to grade 8 before, and you get 40, 50 feet up there. You look down, 40 feet, 50 feet hanging on a tree is significant. Now, this was not 40, 50 feet. This was between mountains. You are going over top of rainforest-sized trees. And that little guy, he had geared himself up. He had his hands on. There's a sign there. It's funny. There's a sign that said, no one under 10. It was in Spanish, but I could see 10, and I could kind of tell. So I just told him, I said, he's only 7. It's okay. You're with a big group. Go ahead. I'm like, what does a big group have to do with that? It just didn't make any sense. And so he gets up there. I thought to myself, he's going to start screaming his head off. He's going to start crying. The last thing I told him, I said, Owen, I love you. And they push him out there, and you hear, I love you. And he had a blast. And he had a great time because he didn't know what was going to happen next. But he kind of trusted my voice, even though I had no control of the situation. But he kind of understood he's just going to try to enjoy the ride as much as he can. And in our lives, we need to learn how to get comfortable and comfortability and begin to enjoy more of this life. Enjoy more of those opportunities. Even the fearful ones. Even the ones that are uncomfortable. If we could learn how to enjoy those, and how do you enjoy something uncomfortable? First off, by fellowshipping with one another and building relationships with people that can help encourage you through those situations. to be able to be voices in your life at those moments, to be able to point out the beauty all around you. Because I'll be honest, when I got up there and it was me and the coach that was left because everybody went before us, and I don't know how that happened. I don't know why I was waiting at the end of the line. Maybe it was so that I could slide out. They strapped me to it. The guy asked me, I didn't know we could speak any English. He looks at me and said, "You afraid?" He never asked anybody else that. And coach behind me said, "I think you see something in your face." I was like, "No, I'm good." He's like, "I don't think you are." They pushes me out there. Wanted to close my eyes the whole time. But if I did, I would have missed some unbelievable scenery. And we go through this life, man, we're clenched. We close our eyes. We go through some things that we don't want to go through. And I know that those things are hard and they are difficult. But if you could learn how to keep your eyes on your Heavenly Father and hold on to Him, you can see the beauty in any situation you might find yourself in. And you can continue moving forward and where He's called you to do and where He's leading you. He says, "I want to do something great in your life. I wanted to give you a promise. I want to make you a fisher of men." That means you're going to have to leave the old things and to walk into something new. And so we do, some of us. We choose that and we say, "Okay, God, I'm going to abandon it and I'm going to follow you." And we follow Him and we go forward and we give everything we have. And we're going, man, and we're doing good, and we're spending time with Him, and we're in our Word, and we're praying, we're building ourselves up, and we're going after that thing, whatever that thing is that we feel like He's called us to do in our life. And I know there's some of us that have never made a mistake in this room in their lives, and I understand that, and I'm not even talking to you. I'm talking to the rest of us that have made a few mistakes. See, because Peter would come to a portion in his life, he would make several mistakes. And I'm not talking about just a few little hiccups, but I'm talking about, you know, those big mistakes. And Peter would. As we read that in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus looks at him and says, you know, Peter's saying, "Jesus, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go. It doesn't matter where they take you. I'm going there. Because, you know, you're where else am I going to go?" And Lord, Jesus looks at him and says, "No, Peter, by the time the sun comes up, you're going to deny me three times. Before the cock even crows, you're going to deny me." "No, Lord, not me. Never do something like that." Sure enough, in the early hours that morning when Jesus is on trial, there's a young slave girl comes up to him, the big fisherman. Peter was head and shoulders taller than anybody else, as historical accounts gives us in the narrative of him. And she says, "Hey, you're one of him. You are a follower." "No, I'm not." "Well, yeah, yes, you were." No, you're even dressed in your speech. You're just like him." And he curses her. He runs off. And he hears the cock crow three times and he begins weeping. There are going to be times in your life, newsflash, you are going to completely mess up. As a husband, you're going to fail. As a wife, you're going to fail. As a father, as a mother, as an employer, as an employee, as a student, wherever you might find yourself in life, you are going to fail. But that does not mean that you are out. Too many of us, we can't ever get past that moment. We can never move on beyond that instant in our life. We can never move beyond that failure. And we forget the words of Isaiah when it says, "Though a righteous man may fall seven times, he gets back up." And there are going to be times in our lives where it seems like we are failing, and we get back up and we fall again, and we get back up and we fall again. But at least you are moving forward. It might not be a run. It might not be a sprint. It might not even be a walk, but at least you are crawling forward and you are making headway because you choose to continue to get back up. The question is, are you going to be knocked down? It is going to be, are you going to stay down? We need to learn how to get up. Peter couldn't get up. And he was done. And we see this account in his life. Because John chapter 21, this is after Christ died on the cross, sometime after his resurrection. He's sitting there and Peter does what so many of us do when we have a failure. And we say, God can't use me. Maybe I missed it. Maybe it was just a foolish thought of a youth. He says, I can't do this anymore. I've gone off too far. And so he does so many of us do. He goes back to what he knows. Goes back to what he's comfortable with. Because it goes back fishing. 3 years ago, Jesus said, come out of that boat. I want to do something extraordinary with you. And the regret inside of his life was so much that he abandoned the promise of what God wanted to do in his life. And he went back to what he'd known. There he is fishing. Him and some other men with him and some of the other ones that were fishermen, they were fishing and they hadn't caught anything the entire night. They see a man standing on the shore and he says, cast your nets in one more time on the other side. They begin dragging it in and it becomes a great haul. And they look up and they recognize it's Jesus, the resurrection form. And Peter is so excited. And he begins not waiting for the boat. He jumps out of the boat. He swims to the shore and never says a word. And I see that in people. I see that sometimes when a new person might even come into church. They're so excited about being in church. But then all of a sudden, I know what happens to so many. The accuser of the brethren begins to remind them of a failure in their life. They'll never come back. Not because of anything that somebody did to them here, but because maybe of a past in their life. And the enemy is reminding them of faults. He's reminding them of mistakes. Saying, do you think you really can do this again? Remember that time when? Yeah, but Pastor Tim, you don't know how bad it was. No, I don't know, and I don't need to know. But I know a God that forgives and restores and wants to. Within your life to set your feet back up and help you continue moving forward with your journey. And here is Peter, that guilt on him that he never says a word. Jesus, in verse 15 of chapter 21 of John, finally begins to look at him and asks him a pretty simple question. Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know I do. See, but in our language, we have different words for love. We have one word for love. They have many different words for love, different levels of love. And so when I say, I love my wife, when I say, Bill, I love you, now there's a little bit of a difference. Now, Bill, I hope you understand there is a difference. Don't get upset, but yes, there is a difference between those two statements. And so what Jesus was asking says, Peter, do agape me. Do you have a love for me that will not quit, no matter the circumstances? And he looks at him. He says, you know, I love you like a brother. Two different levels. I said, okay, then feed my sheep. A few minutes later, we ask him again. He says, Peter, do you agape me? I love you like a brother. That's all I can do. It's all I got left. Because I was at that trial. I was at that time where you needed me the most. And I failed you. My love has a limitation. I can't do it, God. That thing that you've called me to do, that place that you've called me to go, it's too hard. It's too tough. It's too difficult. Just can't do it. Peter, do you agape me? It says that, and Peter became grieved, became upset. And he tells him, he says, yes, Lord, I do love you. And he gives him a promise. He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Because right now you're young and you're going to be able to go wherever you want to go. But there's going to be a time when you're old. You're going to go somewhere you're not going to want to go. But you're not going to fail me. He was talking about the time he would be offered up in Nero's circus as a sacrifice. The Lord will allow you to revisit those places, not so that you can fail again, but so that you can finally have victory over those areas of your life. Peter chose at that moment to go and do what Christ had asked him to do, not allow that failure to hold him back for the rest of his life and to define him and identify who he is and what he was going to be. I don't know where you are at in your life, but I know that God wants to do some unbelievable things no matter at the place that you are within your life. First thing you need to do is start getting outside of that comfort zone and begin to run after him. And if you make a mistake along the way, seek repentance, move on, and move forward with him and continue seeking after him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come together this morning, Lord, and worship you. We thank you, Father, for your word this morning to allow us, Lord, to be able to step outside and make a difference and make impacts in our life and other people's lives, Lord, as you've called us for so much more. Lord, because I see a group of people, I see a church with so much potential and so much promise if we begin running after it and moving forward. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Continue to be with us this morning. Continue to lead us and guide us, and we'll choose to give you honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.